You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're focusing today on Psalm 96 and also on the topic of worship. So what does it mean to worship? Basically, it means to praise and adore the Lord. Why do we worship? I believe there are at least four good reasons why we should worship. Number one, we worship the Lord because of who he is. Number two, we worship him because of what he has done. Number three, because of what he is doing now. And number four, because of what he has promised to do in the future. So four good reasons, I believe, to worship him. From the Bible regarding Psalm 96, we find out that it was used at least on two very happy events. Number one, when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, they were using Psalm 96. Also, when they dedicated the new temple in Jerusalem after they had gone into Babylon and now back and having rebuilt the temple again for that joyous occasion, they used Psalm 96. Today, as we focus on the psalm, let us think about the Lord, about who he is and what he has done and what he will do. And let us also think about the countless blessings that we have received from him. So who he is, what we already have from him, what he has promised yet in Christ, and then let us truly worship him. Going to our text, we go back to verse 1, and the Bible says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, bless his name." Why should we sing to him? Well, think about it. He is the Almighty God. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. He is the Redeemer, and so much more. It also told us there that all the earth is to worship him. So that includes every person, and it also includes every other component of all that God has made. And then it goes on in the psalm, and it says, "Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the peoples." If you break the psalm down, you could see it in this way, that it breaks down real nice into three sections, and in each section it's basically saying, first of all, let's recognize the Lord and worship him, and then second, let's go out and tell others about him. So we have that pattern repeating three times: worship him, tell others about him. Worship him, tell others about him. Worship him, tell others about him. And those are wonderful things for all of us to be involved with. Think about this idea of telling others. Once we know the Lord, once we have him as our Savior, what does that mean? That means we are so blessed. We have the full forgiveness of our sins. We have the gift of spiritual life. We have the promise of heaven and so much more. So having all of that and having it freely through our Lord Jesus Christ, don't we want others to have the same too? By all means. You know, it's such an unusual thing when it comes to the things of God. Normally when we have something and we give it away, we have less. When it comes to the things of God, when we give it away, we actually have more. So that encourages us as well to give it away. We have even more reasons here to tell others. It goes on in verse 4 and says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." So the Lord is infinitely greater than every other being in this world and in all worlds. So everyone should praise him. Everyone should adore him. Everyone should worship him just because of his greatness. Also, too, it said in the psalm that we should fear him. Why should we fear him? Let me give you at least three reasons here. Number one, we should fear him because he has life and death in his hands. Anyone who's living, God has given them life. Anyone who died, God knew they would die, and God let them die. He has life and death in his hands. Also, too, why should we fear him? Because he gives and he takes away. Think about Job. Job had so very much, and yet the Lord chose to take it all away. He took away his children. He took away his livestock. He took away his health. And yet, Job still praised him. Amazingly, Job still praised him. Why else should we fear the Lord? He has the power to eternally condemn, and he also has the power to eternally save. Those are at least three good reasons why we should rightly fear him. And then, why should we tell others? Because he is worthy. Notice what it says in verses 5 and 6, "For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." So think about what you trust for a moment. What do you trust? I'm afraid that many people in the world are trusting things that are not worthy of their trust. They're trusting things that are worth less. But when it comes to the Lord, he is worthy. He is worthy of all of our trust, all of our praise, all of our worship, all of our honor. And then going on in the psalm, we come to verses 7 and 8, and you'll notice there are three times we have the word ascribe. When I think about my regular vocabulary, I'm not using the word ascribe. So what does that mean? It has a very simple meaning. It simply means to give. So let me substitute that word as I read here again. "Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory, do his name, bring an offering and come into his courts, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, tremble before him, all the earth." In the first section today, it talked about singing to the Lord. We do that here, but some people would say, "Oh, I don't need to gather with those people. I can be right out there in nature and I can sing to the Lord." But here, though, in this section, it is talking about gathering together and some other things as well. So when we assemble here to receive both word and sacrament, those are precious blessings from God. When we gather here to do that, what are we expressing? What are we acknowledging? Let me give you five things real quick. We are acknowledging his great strength. We are honoring him as our great God. We are giving him thanks by returning a small portion to him of all the abundance that he has given to us. Number four, we are here wearing his very gift of righteousness, the very gift that he put on us in baptism. We're wearing that now in his presence. He sees us to be his holy children. And then finally, number five, we are here revering him with believing hearts. Do some people gather and the words are there, but they really don't hear, and they really don't understand, and they really don't believe, and they really don't worship? It happens all the time. But it's important, though, that we have our worship that is both in spirit and in truth, as Jesus spoke of in John chapter 4. Some of the five things I just mentioned would fit right into that category of worshiping both in spirit and in truth. And then going on here in the psalm, this is where we tell again. "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity." What does that mean? Something to do with the equity in our homes? Well, no. Here, he will judge the people with equity. That means he will judge them with fairness. He will be completely impartial in his judgment. Think about it like this. Having received the Lord's great blessings, we are instructed to tell others. And let me give you three things we should be telling to others. Number one, we should be telling them the Lord Almighty, he is in control. Not great leaders, not great powers in the world, not great governments, but he is in control. Number two, we should let people know that no one will overcome him. He is almighty. No one will overcome him. And then number three, we should let people know that he is coming and he will judge with complete fairness. When I hear that initially, I'm like, oh, dear God, if he judges with fairness, I know I'm a sinner, and if he's fair about it, I should be condemned. But what does it mean, though? Here, it means he's going to judge in fairness in this way. He's going to declare innocent all who know Jesus Christ, and he's going to declare guilty all who have rejected Jesus Christ. So praise God for Jesus Christ, that we can be innocent in the sight of God because of what he has done for us. And then in this final section, we see that all creation is called to worship him. Picking up in verse 11, it says, "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it." Think for a moment about creation itself. When God made it, God declared, "It is very good." Of course, that included creation, the people, and so on. But then, with no fault of creation itself, it was brought to very serious corruption. It's the fault of the people. They sinned, the corruption came upon creation itself. But think about it, though. We have the sea and the field, and all of God's creation is being called to worship him, and yet here they are in corruption because of no fault of their own. If the creation is called to do that, how much more should we be worshiping the Almighty God who loved us so much that he sent his Son to redeem us with his holy precious blood? Let's see it that way, and let's give him great worship, heartfelt worship, because of who he is and what he has done for us. Finally, in this final section of the psalm, it is about telling, because I said the pattern is worship, tell, worship, tell. That is the pattern. But here, though, we're talking about telling people both about judgment and also about joy. Notice what it says. "Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." What I want to do with this time is read a little bit of a longer quote out of the Lutheran Study Bible. It says, "In our world, too many people see faith in God as a relic of the past with little to say about life today. People turn away from the true God in idolatrous pursuits of money and success. They trust in technology or revel in pleasure." The quote continues now, and it basically is saying, okay, the world is like that. What is our reaction to it? So the quote continues, do we give up? No. And then the quote basically says, here's what we should do. Let me tell you the two things. First, join with others in worshiping the splendor and majesty of the Creator, then speak of his salvation in Jesus day after day until the resurrected Savior returns to judge all nations in faithfulness. So I thought the quote was so good in assessing where the world is at today, how we should respond to that, and how we should continue to respond until finally Jesus comes again. So Jesus' judgment, is it a bad thing? When we hear the word judgment, usually we think of it as being negative, but a judgment is simply a determination. So when Jesus comes, he's going to determine who is guilty and who is innocent. And how is he going to do that? For those who have rejected him, he will say, guilty, throw him out. And for those who have, by grace, through faith, received him, for those people, he's going to say, innocent, come on in and be with me forever and ever. In conclusion, let me make a statement that is a little bit of a strong statement, but I think it's true, though. See what you think here. So when people choose not to worship, think about this. We live in a world today where almost everyone chooses not to worship. Let's be honest. So when people choose not to worship, what are they doing? They are showing a blindness to the Lord and a blindness to where all of their blessings have come from. Why do I say that? Because if that blindness wasn't there, they would realize how awesome and great he is, and they would be worshiping him. And if they looked at all that they have, their food, their clothing, their shelter, and even the promises that God has given us forever and ever, if anyone looked at that in a proper way, and by God's grace they believed it, they could not but worship him. So for those who choose not to, it's a sad thing that they have these spiritual coverings over their eyes where they cannot see who the Lord really is, and they cannot see where all their stuff has come from. If you know people like that, pray for them, encourage them. As the psalm says, worship and then go and tell. Let us pray. Dear Lord, give us a proper view of you and a proper view of us. Then move us to rejoice in your gift of salvation, move us to rightly worship you, and move us to tell your precious truth to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.